What is going on, everybody? Welcome to A Theology of Hustle. I'm your host, Curry Blanford, and today we're talking to Theo. So this is a little bit of a different episode, as you can see from Theo's bio and all that stuff. He is a high school student, a high school senior, and is in his last semester of his senior year. And I've been actually wanting to do an episode like this since the podcast started. Get ready. This is kind of a soapbox for me, but it drives me crazy when older people, especially Christians, disparage young people. And I feel like that's done way more than it should be these days. To be clear, I am not a fan of young people disparaging older people either. I think we do not take time to learn from each other often enough. And so in my role as a pastor, as a youth pastor over the last decade, I have hung out with a lot of students. And in that time, I've realized how much we have to learn from students. And I wanted to bring a student onto this podcast to talk to them about what it's like to be a student and sort of grow and what that means. And because of how we're doing A Theology of Hustle and sort of giving dignity to all work, Theo's work, a student's work, somebody in high school, their work is no less important than anyone else's work. We're all doing the things that God has called us to, which makes our work important. And so Theo's work is important. What he does at school is important. How he goes about his business right now is important. And God isn't preparing him for future ministry, and that's the only good there is. He's doing ministry now. He's working for God's kingdom today. And I think that's something we can't talk about enough. And so you're going to love hearing from Theo. He's an awesome guy. I've known him for 6 years, a little over 6 years now. And he's grown to be such an amazing, amazing high schooler. And I've just watched him, you know, walk it out. And so you get to hear all about that today. I just want to remind you to make sure you're following me on Instagram and Facebook at Theology of Hustle and on Twitter at Curry Blanford. And yeah, make sure that you're that way you can stay up to date with what's going on with Theology of Hustle, all the awesome people I have coming out on the podcast. And yeah, I hope you enjoy hearing from Theo. All right, Theo, what's up, man? It's glad to have you over here at the house. It's fun.
Yeah, it's good. It's been a while.
It has been a minute, yes. You used to be over here a lot more back in the day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's just get the interview started by you just sort of introducing yourself to everybody.
Okay. I am Theo Struthers, high school senior. I've known Curry since I was in sixth
That's
grade.
That's what I was trying to think of. I couldn't remember. Were you sixth grade?
Cause yeah,
you came
I think
straight
I was in
into
sixth
youth
grade.
Group, right?
Yeah, I think okay. I was the first, because I remember in middle school, I was very antisocial. And so I did not want to go to youth group.
Okay, right.
And just as like, I don't want to be in a new group of people. And my mom was going to make my sister, AJ, go.
Right.
Or Arwen. and so my sister didn't want to go if I wasn't going.
Right.
And you had like mentioned that it was like seventh through high school. And my mom, I remember because my mom asked you if I could come because I was in sixth grade.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, it's fine. And so then I was the first
sixth grader. That's right.
To go all the way through now.
That is crazy. Yeah. I'm not big on rules in general. I guess that proves it right there. But like from sixth grade to 12th grade all the way through with Cohuge. That's crazy.
It is.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So high school senior.
Yeah.
Show choir king.
Yeah. So in show choir, choir, like help run the guys a cappella group, do like theater stuff whenever it's at my school. Was in band for a while, was in bands playing bass for a while.
Right.
Going to school in San Diego next year
yeah
at Point Loma Nazarene University.
Okay.
which will be exciting because I'll be next to the ocean every day.
That will be nice, which is nice because you're planning on jumping into what field there?
Well, so I'm most likely going to get, I'm going into it undergrad for biology with a minor in computational sciences, and then looking to in the future go into marine biology or just any kind of like wildlife ecology.
Sure. Yeah, but being near the ocean helps with like all of that biology sort of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
it definitely does.
Chicago's not so great at
some
of that, right?
Yeah, we have Lake Michigan, which is good. When I worked at the Shedd Aquarium, a lot of the stuff that they were doing was based off of like Lake Michigan ecology and all of that stuff. And so that stuff's really cool, but I don't know. It wasn't as interesting to me as the vast expanse that we don't know anything about that is like all of the oceans.
Yeah. Yeah. We know more about other planets than we do about the oceans, right?
It's like, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Lots of stuff to get to, I think, with you. So, we got lots to talk about because we've talked about some of this stuff, I think, like over the years, right?
Yeah.
Like, just, I don't know, work and life and how you see the kingdom and all that. I don't even know where to begin, I guess. How do you feel like high school has shaped the way you think about sort of career or work?
I think, well, in terms of like career and work, I was always way more attentive and way more engaged in classes that were math and science.
Sure.
Like 100%. English, you can count me out. Social studies, if I was interested in the topic,
sure,
I would be attentive, but it was always math and science that really like were able to catch my attention, that I like really, really did well in. And so I knew off the bat that I wanted to go into some sort of math and science field. And like I went into high school thinking that, you know, I was like a band kid. So I was like, I'll do like music or music education or something. And then as high school sort of went on, I realized more that I was still love music and the arts and everything, but I was more interested and knew I would have a longer path in some sort of science related field. And then it was a conversation with Dan Colwin. Yeah. I think I've told you about this. But Dan Colwin was another one of the youth pastors in the youth group at the time. And we were hanging out. And so he asked me, we're driving in the car, and he asked me, he was like, is there anything else besides music that you think you would want to do? Because, like, you know, It's hard to make it in music,
yeah, right,
and that's
that's
the main thing that everyone tells you. And so I thought about it, and in that moment, I realized that the one thing that had always, without fail, interested me and given me like a drive to like learn more in was always animals and the environment and like different ecosystems and how all these different animals work together. And it's just fascinating to me.
Sure.
And so in that moment, I realized, I was like, you know, I actually think I may want to do something like this. And then after that, my mom, I think it was like 2 or 3 years later, my mom showed me in the backyard one day that I could apply to do this teen work study thing at the Shedd Aquarium. And then I applied, and it's basically just gone from there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like this last year, I mean, you were like leading a team at the Shedd Aquarium, right? On your third summer? Or was it
second summer? Second summer. Okay. So 2 summers ago, I was a part of the teen work study program. This past summer, I was a senior teen mentor, which basically meant I was working alongside one other senior teen mentor and like the people who were running the program, just to mentor all of the teens in the program, help them out in terms of work, but also in terms of learning as much as they could and helping them with their professional skills. and all of that. And it was a really, really good experience, especially because one of the other senior teen mentor was one of my best friends from the summer before when we were both in the program together.
Yeah.
And the people that I worked with that were above me were just amazing. All of the teens in the program were also great. I still talk to a bunch of them. It was kind of funny because so I was going into my senior year, and I think 6 of like the 10 kids all had just graduated.
Okay.
So I was younger
yeah.
than the majority of them, but it was still, yeah, it was really, really good to work there.
That's cool. Well, and because it was, I mean, we live out in the Western burbs, right? So you were like trekking into the city
yeah.
to the shed. I mean, you know, L and like Metra and the whole yeah. thing, right?
So it was like wake up at like 5 something, take like a 5:45 train in, get in at like 7-ish, like a little bit before 7, maybe a little bit after. And then I didn't really want to pay for the bus every day. So luckily it didn't rain almost any day that I worked.
Right.
And so I would just walk in from Ogilvy.
All the way to the shed?
Yeah. And oh, so it was man. Like a 45-minute walk. But those walks were actually so nice and such a good way to start my day. Because it would just be, I would just put in headphones. On the way in, I would stop and get lunch. For the day sure. and get like a breakfast sandwich or something and then just make my way in. And once you get, basically you get all the way down Madison and then you're pretty much just in like parks and stuff. And then once you get to the museum campus, it's super nice. And you can even walk all the way down to the lakefront and then just take the lakefront down
yeah,
too.
Okay.
So I do that some days. And just like the fact that it was super early in the morning, it was like super peaceful. I think those were probably the best parts of like my days, was just that nice 45-minute walk in the morning. Didn't get like tired or anything.
Right, right.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we appreciate it walking enough, right? Like the slow, just taking your time, right?
Yeah. Especially like I love whenever I have the chance to like hike or something, like I don't go fast.
Yeah.
Like I went fast there because I had to get to work.
Right.
But I think walking is one thing that like I don't think I really appreciated until like later on and still reluctantly do.
Right.
Was that my family would always go, my parents would make us go on family walks. And it was just like, it was nice because we're out and doing something, but we're also just like being together as a family,
yeah.
which I think is something that not a whole lot of families do as much.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, you sit down at the dinner table and that's kind of like the only time that you're all together gathered
yeah.
in a day. But yeah, I just didn't want to do it because it was just long.
Yeah.
It's like the one that my mom always wants to do, it's like 2.5 miles.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That is a heck of a walk as a family.
It's, yeah. And it takes like 45 minutes.
Yeah, right.
And then you get back and you're like, I could have done so much in that extra 45 minutes. And usually that so much is just like laying in bed.
Right, yeah, right.
But yeah.
Sometimes that's enough. Yeah, I get it. I get it. So speaking of your family then, how do you feel like your parents sort of formed the way you think about work and that sort of thing?
Well, so my dad is a professor at Wheaton College. And my mom, well, for the first, I think like 8 or 9 years of my life, my mom didn't work. And then I think once my sister hit kindergarten or first grade, she started working full time again at Wheaton College. And I feel like they more just encouraged me to work, not necessarily what to do.
Okay.
So like, yeah, my first job was the summer after my freshman year. And it was basically, it was like all that sort of semester leading up, they were like, you need to get a job this summer. because otherwise you're just going to do what you did last summer and lay around the house like all summer.
Right.
And so, yeah, I got a job as a swimming lessons instructor.
I remember that. Yeah, at the pool, yeah,
which was horrible. Like, you get up and you're there for like 3 hours max, but you still have to get up at like 6 because you have all these early morning lessons. And like, the kids were probably the easiest part.
Right.
And then it's like, you're not really getting paid that much because it's a public pool and you're like working on a work permit.
Right.
And then there, you have to talk with the parents, and sometimes the parents are kind of psycho.
Right.
And it just was, it was a grind for that whole summer. It was like every morning. Except I did end up breaking my wrist that summer too.
I remember.
So
that.
I got like a 2 week session off because like I can't go in the water. I have a cast, even though I had a waterproof cast. Then I actually ended up teaching lessons in the cast. yeah. But probably would rank on the lowest end of the jobs. But I think it was more the fact that my parents were encouraging me to work. And then as soon as that job ended, they were like, okay, what are you going to do now? And so I didn't really have a job that year, my sophomore year. But I was like every like 5 or 6 months, I would be a session bassist for my old bass teacher.
Right.
And so like that would get me like, I like some amount of money, just to spend. But then, again, the year after that, it was my parents were like, I knew that they wanted me to get a job, but working at the shed was more me wanting to get a job. And that was, I think that was really good because they instilled in me that if I didn't have a job, I should probably go out and look for one.
Right.
And always just to like keep busy.
Mm.
Like, even if I wasn't working, I would, like, I remember after I finished my first summer at the shed, I, on my own, just downloaded the Indeed app, which was, like, the job searching app.
Yeah.
And was just, like, looking for jobs there, and then got my job, which I still have now, at Kid Science Labs.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. I think I appreciate that. Even like thinking through my own kids, you know, like at some point needing jobs and whatnot, like what can they do? That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Okay. So we've talked, we may be delving into like maybe deeper territory here, but we talked some about just, I mean, you're part of, are you Gen Z or are you millennial still? Do you remember?
I think I'm Gen Z.
Gen Z. Okay. We talked just a little bit about in youth group and in the back in the day, we talked just about how maybe adults like that you perceive like adults see like your generation and what's going on with like technology and like a lot has changed in the last in your lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, how do you, can you express or talk about how you believe that adults sort of see your generation and like the future of sort of, the world.
Yeah, I think one thing that's just crazy is how much everything has changed,
right.
Like since I've been alive. Like when I was born, like nobody had iPhones and everything, and now it's basically everyone does.
Yeah, right.
And so I think a lot of people look at like this like my sort of generation coming up. I think one of the things that kind of bugs me the most is when people say like to get off your phone because that is antisocial.
Yeah, sure.
And like if you're thinking about like a lot of the people that are saying that in their childhood, if you just sat and stared at something and didn't talk to anyone in the room, that would be perceived as antisocial.
Right. Yeah.
But so much of the interaction between kids my age and kids that are younger than me and now people that are older than me is going on just in this device.
Right.
Like I've been very conscious recently in the past, like I'd say year, about how much I actually use my phone. And the majority of the time that I am using it it is solely for communication, whether I'm texting people or just like doing anything. I want to be talking to another person as opposed to just like being on my phone mindlessly.
Sure.
Which I still sometimes do. They're like, but I've been trying not to. I only download a few games. There are certain games, and they're always like
a few games, though, right?
Yeah. But like, oh, they're like always like the like escape the room games.
Yes, right.
And like those ones, ah, I love those so much. But I feel like it's really hard for older generations to view what's going on just in general through our generation's eyes because it's so different.
Right.
And so much has changed. And so like even I remember my dad, my freshman year. So a thing at least at my school, and I think a lot of schools is when you ask a girl that you're going to go to like a dance with, you almost always, unless they explicitly tell you not to, like have to do it in, with some sort of like sign or like a gimmick.
There's
got to
be a whole thing, right?
And I remember I did it and I was making it and my mom and my older sister were helping me make it. And my dad is like, what are you doing? Like, you don't need to do this. And I was like, but I do. And it's just like a thing that people do now. And he was like, ah, when I ask people to dance, I didn't need to do that. I was like, well, this is me.
Right.
And I just think so much has changed in even like culturally.
Yeah.
Just how we view the world. I think one crazy thing is just how interconnected everyone in the entire world is now.
Right. Yeah.
And that's scary.
Right.
Because presumably anyone can know what any amount of people are doing at a certain point in time.
Right.
And be thousands of miles away.
Right. Yeah. The world's a lot smaller than it used to be, right? For those reasons. Yeah, for sure. What about perceptions of like work ethic and that sort of thing? Like, do you feel like the older generations have views on work ethic and that sort of?
I mean, I think the general like view of like the older generation perceiving the younger generation is kind of like lazy.
Sure.
Applies more to millennials as it does to my generation. Sure. Like, I guess Gen Z.
Yeah.
Just because like we haven't really entered the workforce yet.
Yeah.
But I also do think one thing that I was thinking about that's really interesting to me is we are the most tested generation.
Huh. Say more about that.
In terms of like everyone needs to take so many standardized tests, and in school it's all about achievement. And there's been, I feel, in this generation, there's a lot more academic pressure than there has been in the past.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the generation that I'm in, Gen Z, when we go into the workforce, could be perceived as a lot less lazy. Because we've been kind of forced but pressured to work so much harder just in like school.
Mm.
Like I know one person in particular that got a 36 on their ACT and was mad that they didn't get a 36 plus.
What?
Which is 100%.
Wow.
And like that is just, you know, the a small,
right,
isolated portion.
Yeah.
But also, like, people, as we have more information readily available to us, I think a lot of people think that, like, we're getting dumber, but we actually are getting smarter on average.
Yeah.
And I think something like, if you took someone from, like, the 70s or the 80s, and they took an IQ test now, if they scored like 100 on the, which is the average intelligence, right, because it's standardized, it's normalized.
Yeah.
So if you scored of exactly average intelligence now, you would have scored like 120
really
back then.
Huh. Interesting.
And I don't know. I feel like there's just a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
On this, on like my generation of people.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. JJ and I have just been talking about that because our children are in elementary school and already there is an extreme pressure to achieve. And I don't know what it is. It may have a lot to do with the standardized test, like you talked about. Like the teachers are constantly being asked to perform, right?
Yeah.
So they're constantly asking their students to perform. And it's like my kids are already sort of nervous about achievement in elementary school.
Yeah.
And like that was not the case when I was young, for sure. Mm-hmm. Right? Like talk about ACT, I was like very happy with my 28. You know, like I'm done, I'll see you later. You know what I mean? Like yeah, that's interesting. I think you're right about that.
Yeah. And like this is definitely the area that we are in, but I know maybe two people in my entire class that are going to college that are going in undecided.
Really?
Like,
wow.
Almost every single person that I know and have talked to about college, they know what they want to major in, what career path they want to go down to, and just everything.
Hmm.
And I feel like, especially in this area, because like the schools are really, really good and we're expected to perform at such a high level in everything that we're expected to know exactly what we want to do.
Mm.
And it's not representative of the whole. Like, isn't it like around half of college students go in undecided?
Right.
And I know even like my best friend went in first semester this past year. He goes to school in California. He went in to his first semester of college as a bio major and was like, you know what? I'm going to do bio. I'm going to do pre-dental. That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
Hated it so much. Switched majors, is now doing political science.
Yeah. I think it's very rare not to switch a major at least once in college. Right. But there is there's an extreme pressure. I mean, from what age were people asking you what you wanted to be when you grow up?
I would say, like, frequently, I'd say, like, middle school, like, sixth grade was, like, the start of, like, you should think about what you want to do.
Right. And you're, like, sixth grade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, sixth grade, I had a bowl cut and was,
you had the,
like,
biggest glasses
I had
ever.
The biggest glasses. They made my eyes look so huge. I remember, I specifically, in sixth grade, for some reason, don't know why, just never wore jeans.
Right.
I specifically remember every day of sixth grade that I did not wear jeans a single time.
I love it. Yeah.
And it's like, you can't ask a kid who doesn't want to wear jeans for no reason what he wants to do with the rest of his life.
That's true. You're right. You're right. Yeah, we've lost this sense of, there is no sort of like innocence anymore. There is no sort of like childhood in a lot of ways, because right, like your whole life is focused on sort of success or what success will be.
Yeah.
Right?
And I feel like a lot of the times you are always, or at least for me personally, I have always felt like I needed to focus forward.
Hmm.
Like even in elementary school, I remember looking forward to middle school and like the teachers saying like, oh, this will prep you for middle school. Which one thing they said, we needed to write in cursive in middle school. So we had to write in cursive for all of fourth and fifth grade.
Are you serious?
Guess who never wrote cursive once in middle school?
At least you're not bitter about it, though. So that's good.
And then in middle school, everything that they were doing was prepping you for high school. We literally took a test in middle school to get our placements for classes in high school.
Right.
At the beginning of eighth grade. It wasn't like it was like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It was like the very beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And then high school, it's everything in high school is prepping you for college. Everything in high school is prepping you for college. And then everything in college is prepping you for the real world.
Right.
And then what happens when you get there?
Right.
I don't know.
No, I think you're touching on some like really important things that we have to be thinking about, especially in the church. Because in addition to all this pressure that you're experiencing, we're now experiencing like record levels of depression in young people. And I mean, there are some like really disturbing trends that go along with some of these things. And like, while not exact, I mean, there's definitely a lot of like elements to that. I mean, how have you seen that sort of play out with your peer groups?
Oh, like a lot.
Yeah.
Like I would say that the majority of people in high school have at least one sort of maybe, whether it's like a month, whether it's like 2 months, whether it's like a semester, like one period at least where they're like legitimately have like are depressed.
Wow.
And for some people, it's brought on by like crises. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's just like tons and tons of pressure and all of the workload that you have. Like last year, junior year was huge for that because junior year is such a hard year academically and the workload is massive. And on top of that, you're also an upperclassman. So in your activities, you're expected to perform at such a high level.
Sure.
When it's just a lot. And like one thing I did was I dropped one of my AP classes second semester. I was in AP English, right. And I had this really, really hard teacher. And if I would have grinded for like an hour a day, every single day, I probably could have gotten an A in the class and done really well. But I also easily could have gotten a B.
Right, right.
And I was just like, it's not worth it. And I'm going to drop down to the lower level English class. And it was such a weight off my shoulder second semester, knowing that like I have at least one class that I don't really have to worry about all that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's a lot. Cause I mean, we had AP classes when I was a student and stuff, but I mean, it's a different level now.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, just what is expected, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. In addition to all your extracurriculars where you are at school like crazy late sometimes.
Yeah.
Right.
The craziest I think are when it's like tech week for a show.
Yeah.
For like a theater show. So it'll be after school. School ends at 2:15. You have to get mics and costumes on by 2:30. Sound check, get ready by 2:45. You run the show basically continuously except for a dinner break until like 9:30, 10.
What?
And then you go home, and that is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then you perform Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And you're back awake at 5:30 or 6 to go to school the next day.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, that makes that hour of English homework look like a lot more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot. So then, I mean, yeah, how do you go about as a high school student thinking about like integrating your Christianity sort of into school? And I know,
Well, I think the biggest thing, at least for me, is just how you act, especially towards other people. Like if you're going around like saying that you're like super religious and this like almighty person, like, just don't be a jerk. Like, I know some people that are like use it almost as like a crutch to be a jerk.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, since like I don't like believe the same thing as you, then I can like just not like you. Like, that's not how it works.
Right.
Like, you need to make a concerted effort to be as godly as you can in the way that you treat every single other person. Mm. And whether that is the people who you hang out with every day or the people who like you view as like above you in the social ladder or the people who like nobody really talks to and hangs out with, it should be every single person.
Right.
It shouldn't be just who you want it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel like throughout your time in high school and like middle school and like just being in school, how do you feel like your kind of relationship with God maybe ebbed and flowed throughout that time?
I think it really goes along with just how I was doing in life and just like mentally. Like middle school, it sort of ebbed and flowed a little bit. And then high school, I remember first semester of freshman year was real hard. And that was when it was like really maybe at its rockiest.
Yeah.
And second semester hit and it was a lot easier to sort of accept like, okay, I've made it through one semester of this. It's not actually that bad.
Sure. Yeah.
And then like sophomore year was pretty good. It was just a good year all around. And so it was easy to just have like faith and just stay a lot stronger. Junior year was still pretty good. And then sort of at the end of junior year into the beginning of this year was when it was like, it was really stressful because I feel like I wanted to go in one direction. And I was asking for confirmation that I, like, that he wanted me to go in that direction. Right. And it was frustrating because I feel like with my older sister, it was so, like, direct. Like, she knew exactly what she wanted to do and where she wanted to go. Mm. And my parents were just totally on board with it.
Sure.
Like, 100%. And then with me, it was a little bit harder because, like, with whether it was the schools I was applying to or, like, just, like, my classes or anything, I wasn't hearing a lot.
Mm.
And so it was hard to figure out where to go, not only just in the future, but just in, like, day-to-day life.
Sure.
And since then, like, figuring out and just, like, sitting down and listening and just figuring out exactly what I want to do and how that matches up with what he wants me to do has helped a lot.
Well, how do you go about, I mean, how did you go about sort of hearing that sort of stuff? You know, I mean, what does that mean to you to say that, like, God wanted you to do something sort of?
I think it depends for, like, situation to situation.
Sure, yeah.
Like, it may just be, like, he, like, I really just want him to tell me to just, like, deal with this human being and just, like, be really nice and just muscle through it. And other times it could be, like, with school. Like, if I really sit down and think about what it would be like for me to, like, go to this school or to go to this school and how he would integrate into my life there and how my life would just change if I was at one school versus another.
Right, yeah.
I think that was a big part of it was because I wasn't really, like, set on any school. And then one big thing that happened was when I visited Point Loma. It just worked. Like, I couldn't find anything that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I think this is, like, this is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Because, I mean, you're in the midst, right? You're this is last semester of your senior year.
Yeah.
You're in the midst of making the biggest decision you've ever made, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe one of the top 4 or 5 decisions of your entire life.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, for sure.
How do you kind of deal with or sort of, like, think about that sort of pressure? Yeah.
Well, I think for me, it was I needed to deal with it internally because, like, a lot of times for kids, sometimes basically their parents will decide where they're going.
Right.
whether it be because they can't afford any of the other schools, or because they don't want them to go to the other schools, or because they their parents went to this school, so they're going to go to this school.
Right. Right.
And for me, it was just, I need to figure out what will be best for me, and I need to ask him what will be best for me.
Right.
And so just taking like a good while and just trying to figure that out. Like it's not like I took like a couple hours in alone in my bedroom. Like it was like weeks.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I just need to figure out what will be the best for me personally. And then I know that he will provide whatever I need to go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. That's, yeah, it's tough, right? I mean, you know, it's tough. I just, because again, it strikes me as this is how we all are, but more so on somebody in your position, a high school student, like the future sort of seems to be all there is, right? Like you're pushing towards the future at all times. Right. And I think, or I'll pose this as a question. Do you think that makes it hard to be here now?
Oh yeah. 100%. Like, I think my first semester, majority of what I remember and what I remember I did just all revolved around college stuff. And I think now that I have a little bit more peace of mind, I can actually start to live more and to enjoy, like, especially this last semester a lot more. But yeah, I've seen it with tons of people where, like, one of my good friends in particular, like, all he would talk about was college and all of the essays that he had to do and the interviews that he was going to go to. And I was like, dude, like, do you have anything else going on?
Right, right.
And, like, he had, like, other extracurriculars and schoolwork and stuff, but that was just all that was on his mind 24/7.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think we all can struggle to be all there, right? Like, like in the moment. Because for you, like, being in high school, it's not as if God is sort of waiting for Theo to finally figure out his career and get into a job before God like uses you for his kingdom. Right. Because I mean, even in your high school experience, I mean, you played in the youth group band, right? You played at church, both drums and bass, which is awesome. But like you walked through some pretty serious stuff with other people, quite a bit in your high school experience, right? Like you experienced sort of like depths of mourning with some and like, you know, joys. And I mean, there was a lot of ministry that you did like throughout your high school career. Is that true?
I think so. Like, yeah, yes, I would agree. And I think what it really comes down to is just being there. And it's not necessarily like if someone is like mourning or going through like a hard time, it's not necessarily saying like God is with you at all times and like forcing it on them. It's just being there.
Right.
And like you can pray for someone without telling them that you're praying for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if like some people may not think that that has the same effect, but you shouldn't have to tell someone that you're praying for them in order for them to know that you're there and you care. And so like, I think one thing is just constantly being there, whether they need it or whether they don't. And so I think that, yeah, it's just being godly in the way that you act towards other people, I think is the biggest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because you experienced a lot of prayer too. I mean, we learned a lot about prayer during your time in you know, youth group and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel like some of those like disciplines or practices sort of played themselves out in your time?
I think it just it taught me how to pray.
Yeah.
In ways that I didn't really know before. Like, I think the biggest part of that is God, talking to God doesn't need to start with you. I think listening is something that is definitely underused,
yeah,
just in general, whether it be with other people or with God. And so listening to him and listening to what he wants you to say or what the other people just need to hear,
yeah,
is definitely better than just jumping in and thinking that you know exactly what you're going to do, yeah, and what you know what you're doing, because a lot of the times you don't.
Right.
Especially when, like, you're my age. Like, right. I'm 18. And, like, just 18. Like, I'm not a master on how to help people grieve.
Right, right.
But I think the biggest thing is like, he will guide you.
Mm.
As opposed to you choosing your own path of what you're going to do and him being with you along it.
Right.
I think it is, he's walking in front of you and you are following closely behind.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I wish we could all, I'm still learning that, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like a lifelong experience. That's good. That's good stuff. So, like, I mean, what would you tell somebody who is sort of like, I mean, and maybe you've already covered what you would tell because you've said a lot of good stuff up to now, but like, what would you tell somebody who is in eighth grade, sort of like looking to jump into high school about sort of how to live out like a Christian life, you know? I know that's a,
yeah, I mean, it's hard. And yeah, it's hard because I feel like you can be very, very strong in your faith and not be outspoken and in your face about it.
Yeah.
I think because a lot of the times when people are outspoken and in your face about it, that can sort of paint a bad picture as like just of like faithful Christians as a general.
Yeah, right.
And so like, I know people that are like super strong in their faith and everyone knows about it. And sometimes it just can get kind of annoying if you're bringing it up every single time,
right,
that anything happens ever. But you can still be equally strong in your faith and just go about your work and show your faith through your work,
right,
as opposed to saying your faith. Mm. I think is the biggest thing is action. You know, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
And like, all of my friends know that like I'm a Christian, and like, I don't think I've outright like spoken to any of them, said that I was, they just know.
Right.
And Yeah,
that's good. I think that applies everywhere. I mean, I very much agree with that. I would say that there's probably a little more pluralism, maybe in your school. Like when I went to high school, right, I was in Texas. There wasn't a lot of like, you were either sort of a Christian or you maybe weren't, you know. But you,
yeah,
go to a high school that has like a lot of different thoughts about like, not everybody agrees sort of on these like,
yeah,
basic sets of things. Right.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate that sort of thing in relationships with others as a Christian?
I mean, I think it shouldn't be a barrier.
Amen.
I think that's, yeah, the biggest thing. If you have different ideas, then you have different ideas. You shouldn't not be friends with someone because of it. And if you are friends and someone, you know, changes their mind or something and starts following a different belief, then that shouldn't change the fact that you're friends and you still act godly towards that person.
Right.
And I think especially in high school, there's sort of like a fear to sort of be outspoken in whatever faith you're in.
Yeah.
Like I said, like you don't need to reject other beliefs in order to continue believing in your own. Mm. And in my opinion, showing that to other people is as good as, it's way better than telling them that you are right and they are wrong.
Right.
In what they're believing in.
Yeah.
And I really think that it's just, you need to walk the walk instead of talking the talk.
Yeah.
Like, you can talk all you want and still be a really faithful Christian. But a lot of the times, especially just with how schools are, and especially how public schools are, with the sort of stigma and kind of fear against just being like loudly outspoken in your faith, it's better for you just to lead by example.
Yeah.
And that's not saying that being outspoken in your faith is bad.
Right.
I just have found with the way that people are, at least in this community, in this high school, it's just better to just show you through your actions.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, that's good. Because, I mean, if you prove yourself to be faithful over and over again to a friend and they know who to turn to when stuff is going down, like,
yeah,
you know, that's what it is, right? That's how you walk out the gospel, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And that's not saying that, like, if someone asks you, like, how you deal with something,
yeah,
you can't tell them that, like, you go to God and you pray.
Right.
Like, you're not, like, pushing it to the side and hiding it.
Right.
It's just that it's out in the open, but you're not shoving it in everyone's face.
Yeah.
Like, there have been times when people have asked me, like, oh, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with this? And I've never talked to them about any sort of religion before. Mm. And I just sort of say, you know, for me, I just go to God.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they did, but I do. And I shared that with them at least.
I love it. That's awesome, Theo. Good stuff. I appreciate you delving into that. I mean, these aren't easy topics to talk about, right? Like, it's complicated, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate you chatting about it. Were you ready to jump into the final two questions?
Sure.
All right. So my first one is, we may have already talked about this job, but what is the strangest job that you have ever had?
I'm going to go with session bassist.
Oh, okay.
Purely because, the guy that I worked for was just, he's a character.
Okay, sure.
And so working with him, it was interesting because I was a student of his for 2.5, I think almost 3 years.
Okay.
And I stopped taking lessons because I just got super, super busy as soon as I hopped into high school. And he knew that I was a really good bass player and still wanted me to keep playing. So I would play for his concerts. So basically, instead of like a piano recital where everyone plays piano, he would have concerts where he would get a kid that knows how to play this song on drums, a kid that knows how to play this song on guitar, a kid that knows how to sing this song. And usually there's not a whole lot of people taking bass guitar lessons. So I would usually fill in the gaps.
Sure.
And he was just a character that he takes a little bit of getting used to.
Sure. Okay.
And so spending like 5-hour rehearsals with him and then like whole days with him playing concerts was just, it was very interesting.
Yeah.
Especially when like one of my fondest memories was when I was still taking lessons with him, when I was in one of his rock bands.
Okay.
So basically, like, he would get all of his kids together and form a band out of the kids that he was teaching to lessons to. And then, like, you would learn, like, sets and you would go and play stuff. And I was by far the youngest one. Like, everyone else was, like, a junior or senior in high school, and I was in, like, seventh grade. And he just kind of threw me in the deep end. And he walked up to me. He always used to eat during lessons. And he would always have food under or around his desk. So this particular lesson, it was all of us. We were running a song, and he was eating, like, entire stalks of celery and had a jar of peanut butter that he would dip them in.
Nice.
So he gets, a new stalk of celery and is walking around and just turns to me and starts slapping the fretboard of my bass with celery.
No.
And I'm just, what? I just keep playing because I don't know what to do. I'm in seventh grade. And I'm like, I don't want to stop playing around all of these cool high school kids. And he was like, you need to learn how to deal with distractions.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, I think working with him was one of the strangest things that I've ever done. But I'm very grateful for it. He's a very good teacher and a very good musician. And yeah.
And now you can handle distractions like nobody's business.
So, exactly. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's good stuff. Okay. So my final question then is, what is one piece of advice you would give to people looking to bring God's kingdom more into their work?
Well, I think I've said this quite a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, just acting godly towards everyone. And it's really hard sometimes. But just doing it as consistently and as much as you can. And it's not just, you know, the people in your immediate workplace. It could be, you know, the custodial staff.
Right.
It could be the people that work in the same building, but like on another floor. It's just every single person that you meet, regardless of who they are or what they believe. And even just like, I think one of the biggest things is addressing people by their name.
Hmm.
There are a couple, like, what I like to do is if I know someone loosely that I know, like, doesn't have a ton of friends or something, like, every time I see him in the hallway, I'll just say, hey, and I'll use their name. And I think that's one thing that everyone can kind of relate to.
Yeah.
If you learn names and you use people's names, it makes so much more of an impression and a connection. Mm. Like even my dad and I used to go into the 7-Eleven right by our house almost every single day before school when he would drive me to school. And it used to be privately owned, it used to be franchised, but then they went, since then it has gone back to being corporately owned because they sold it. But we like were in there and talked to the people that owned it so right. much that we just became legitimate friends with them,
right?
And it was just like I remember one day my dad forgot his wallet, and so we're like my dad was like, ah, I forgot my wallet, like we'll just run back. And then I think his name was Lab, was working. He was like, no, like, just take it. And my dad was like, all right, I'll be back, like, literally I'll drop him off, come back, and I'll bring my wallet. He's like, no, it's okay.
Wow, that's cool.
And yeah, I think just acting godly, and yeah, I think addressing people by name as often and as consistently as you can helps a lot with that. It's a small step to take, but I think it's a big one.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. That's great. That's great, Theo. Thanks for coming over, man, and hanging out with me.
No problem.
It's fun. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing from Theo, and just, even going back through this episode, I just got so much insight. It's amazing that
how a high schooler may, you know, share the gospel, how the high schooler may work out the kingdom is very similar to how you and I or anybody at any job may work out the kingdom. And so it's pretty cool to see how God works through us all. And so I hope you're encouraged by this, and I hope you're encouraged to, you know, be in community with people across all generations. And yeah, I think that's an important part of the kingdom and what it is. And so, yeah, I hope you're encouraged today. This is a great time, if you don't mind, to scroll to the bottom of your iTunes app. You can leave a rating and review there. Just helps get the word out about the podcast. I greatly appreciate that. That means a ton to me. And yeah, until next time, get out there and hustle.